This morning comes from Romans chapter 1, verses 8 through 17. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is proclaimed throughout the world. For God, whom I serve with my spirit by announcing the gospel of his Son, is my witness that without ceasing I remember you always in my prayers, asking that by God's will I may somehow at last succeed in coming to you. For I am longing to see you so that I may share with you some spiritual gift to strengthen you, or rather so that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that I have often intended to come to you, but thus far have been prevented, in order that I may reap some harvest among you as I have among the rest of the Gentiles. I am a debtor both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. Hence my eagerness to proclaim the gospel to you also who are in Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God for salvation to everyone who has faith, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed through faith for faith, as it is written, the one who is righteous will live by faith. This is the word of the Lord.
So I invite Peter Niederheiser to come on up.
Praise the Lord. It is an honor to be with you today to say, thus saith the Lord. I praise God for this wonderful opportunity to be in your midst. And I just want us to have a short prayer before I go further. Let's pray. Father, as you said in John chapter 17, you said, the hour has come. Lord, the hour has come for me to deliver your word. I ask, O God, that you glorify your word, that, Lord, the hearers will hear your words clearly through me. And, Father, O God, that we all will be blessed. I ask you to hide me behind the cross. Let less of me be seen and more of you be seen. For this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Imagine being a medical practitioner diagnosed with stage 4 liver cancer and wondering what to do to heal yourself and other patients of yours suffering from different forms of cancer. But while you kept on thinking of what to do, you met a scientist who found a cure for cancer and shared the medicine with you. You used the medicine and got cure of the cancer. But instead of sharing it with your patients, you kept it to yourself. And countless number of people died just because you kept it to yourself. What kind of doctor would you be if you don't share the cure for cancer? Shouldn't you be so proud to share your experience with everyone you meet? Wouldn't you have complete confidence to share your knowledge with the world? Your confidence level of sharing what you experience and how you discover the cure for cancer should rise high. Your confidence level of sharing what you know to be true should rise not to 85%, 95%, but I would say 100%. What kind of doctor would you be if you lack the confidence of sharing what you experience and what you discover when there's a world out there crying, eagerly waiting to hear you speak and to receive something that will change their lives forever and ever? Wouldn't you be so excited? Wouldn't you be so enthusiastic about sharing what you know to be true concerning your discovery of the cure for cancer? More importantly, when God heals you from the disease of sin, which is more deadly than cancer, and tells you that the method he used to heal you is the power of the gospel, wouldn't you have that complete confidence in the gospel to share it with everyone in the world? Cancer kills, and it leads to physical death, separation of the body from the soul. Sin is more deadly because it not only kills and separates the body from the soul, but it separates the soul from God for all eternity. For all eternity. One of the reasons why many TV preachers nowadays are deviating from preaching the true gospel to thrive in ministry and preaching the feel-good or prosperity gospel is because they don't have the complete confidence in the gospel to change lives. Who said that the blood of Jesus that was shed on the cross for our sins have lost its power? The songwriter says, "The blood that Jesus shed for me, way back on Calvary, the blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never, never lose its power. It reaches to the highest mountain. It flows to the lowest valley. All the blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never, never lose its power." Amen? And I stop here today to raise your confidence level of sharing the gospel, because I personally believe that I have complete confidence that the blood of Jesus shed for me on the cross has never lost its power. And I'll be speaking to you today from the theme, complete confidence in the gospel. Complete confidence in the gospel. I'm sure you already turned to Romans chapter 1. Like the prophet Jeremiah, his word is in my heart like a fire. I'm weary of holding it within. I cannot hold it. His gospel in my heart is like a fire shut up in my bones, and I just want to proclaim it. I remember years ago in 1990 when the Liberian Civil War erupted. All foreign nationals fled the country. Being biracial, half German, half Liberian, that put me at a disadvantage. And being a Christian even made it worse. I was constantly on the run to save my life along with my mother, brother, and sisters. We hid in bushes. It was difficult to share the gospel in such a chaotic condition. But I shared the gospel anyway and put my life at a big risk. I received death threats, arrested, and I was arrested to be executed. Rebel soldiers beat me with machine guns. And many times when they fired at me while I was running for my life, it seems like God's invisible hands of protection, his invisible hands protected me with invisible bulletproofs. And I praise God I survived. Amen? On a death threat, I was still passionate to share the gospel. Friends, as I stand before you today, I don't know of anyone who has been more passionate about sharing the gospel than the Apostle Paul. He said to the church at Corinth, he said, "Woe unto me if I preach not the gospel," 1 Corinthians 9:16. In the text before us, Romans 1, 8 to 17, we see his passion for sharing the gospel to the church at Rome. He wrote this letter to the Romans purposely to prepare his way for there for a visit he had planned. Paul's plan was to work among the Christians there for a while, and then with their support, go to Spain. He wrote to explain his understanding of the Christian faith and its practical implications for the lives of Christians. Let us examine a verse-by-verse exposition of his passion recorded in the text before us. Let's start from verse 8 to 14. Having complete confidence in the gospel creates a longing to go places to preach and engage in many good spiritual activities. Paul's quest to go to Rome to edify the believers and to express the significance of the gospel resulted from having a complete confidence in the gospel. Acts chapter 9 recalls his encounter with the great physician, the Lord Jesus Christ, the risen Lord, who healed him from the disease of sin and opened his blinded eyes on the way to Damascus. The Bible says, while he was on his horse, a great light shone round about him from heaven. And Paul heard his voice as when he fell to the ground. And the voice said, Saul, Saul, calling his Hebrew name, Saul, why persecuted thou me? And Saul said, who is it, Lord? And the Lord said, it is me that thou persecuted. And from that moment on, Paul's life was changed because he encountered the risen Lord face to face. That encounter gave him a first-hand faith of the saving power of the gospel and a longing to continue preaching his word, a longing to visit Rome. He had that longing to visit Rome, not only to visit Rome, but he was longing to pray for them earnestly from the depth of his heart. His longing was to see them so that he would impart spiritual gifts to strengthen them. You see, this is one of the misconceptions that many people in our churches today have. A lot of people believe that the sharing of the gospel is only for the people out there, people, the unchurched, the people who don't know Jesus Christ as a Lord and personal Savior. But the sharing of the gospel is not only for the unsaved, it's also for the saved, for the church people. Paul is making it clear that some misconception that many of us have had concerning sharing the gospel is right here. The notion that Christians don't need to be taught the gospel because they are saved is not good. The gospel is not something that you graduate from. It's not something that you move on from. Because we are prone to forget the gospel. We are prone to forget who he is, who our Lord is. We are prone to forget what we are not. Some of us have exalted ourselves and made ourselves like small gods. We are prone to forget what he has done for us. Amen? So Paul had this longing to go to Rome, not only to visit them, to pray for them, to impart spiritual wisdom, but also to gather the harvest. The Bible says the harvest is ripe, but the laborers are few. His plan was to preach to the Greek, the barbarians, the wise, and the foolish. Do you have that longing in your heart to preach to everyone you see, to share the gospel with them? Having a complete confidence in the gospel takes away the shame of proclaiming it. Paul was not ashamed of the gospel because it contains the power of God and not the power of man. He says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, the Jews first and also to the Greek." As I read this text, I could see this passion in Paul. He said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel." The word, the Greek word for power in the original text is dunamis, where the English word, where English gets the word dynamite. The gospel is the dynamite power of salvation. Amen? So you and I ought not to be ashamed of proclaiming his gospel. The gospel is not health and wellness or moralistic teaching. Moralistic teaching is a set of rules to live by. We call them the do's and don'ts. Many of our television evangelists are great speakers. They offer words of hope and encouragement from the Bible. But we have to be careful with what we hear. But we have to be careful with what they say. Sometimes what they say is not the gospel. The gospel is not about us getting a good feeling of ourselves or making us look like some superheroes. The gospel is not about us, but it's about the Lord and what he has done for us. Amen? The gospel addresses who we are. It says that we are all sinners for whom Christ died. Isaiah 53 painted this way. It said, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. But the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all." And Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, 3-4, when he was defining the gospel, he said, For what I received I pass on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried and that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. But God shows his love for us in that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5:8. The gospel not only addresses who we are, it addresses what we can be. That's why I'm not ashamed to proclaim it. That's why I have the complete confidence. Because the gospel changed my life the moment I put my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It changed me from inside out. The scripture says, "If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come." Having a complete confidence in the gospel reveals a righteousness from God. Look at verse 17 with me. He says here, I'm reading from the New King James, "For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Paul writes, "For in it the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed." You know, the Bible says all our righteousness is like filthy rags in the sight of God. This passage was a turning point in the life of the German monk Martin Luther. God used this passage to make a believer out of Martin Luther and to start the Reformation. We read in the passage that God's righteousness is revealed from faith to faith. Let me ask you for a moment, what does it mean when it says from faith to faith? From faith to faith means from start to finish. This righteousness is solo faith, that is, faith alone. From faith to faith emphasizes the alone of salvation by faith alone. We are saved by grace alone, by faith alone, in Christ alone, according to the scripture alone, to the glory of God alone. Amen? The scripture says in Ephesians chapter 2, 8, 9, 10, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and not of works, lest any man shall boast." Everything is freely from the Lord. Paul was not the first person to say that the righteousness he He was not the only person who said that righteousness comes through faith. He says in this passage, as it is written, as it is written. And then essentially quotes from Habakkuk chapter 2, which reads, "Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith." And in Genesis 15:6, the scripture says, And Abraham believed the Lord, and it was credited to him for righteousness. Amen? In conclusion, I want to say that having complete confidence in the gospel creates a longing to go places to preach and to engage in many good spiritual activities. What are you longing for in response to hearing this gospel? Are you longing to leave your comfort zone to share the gospel with your neighbor? A lot of people are signing up for missionary service worldwide. But if you cannot share the gospel with your neighbor across the street, how can you go to Africa, Australia, the other countries to share God's word, to share the power of the gospel? Do you have that longing to go for a walk, to share the gospel with the sick and the shut in? When was the last time you shared the gospel with someone? Are you currently discipling somebody for the Lord? Do you have that longing to visit those whom you have not seen, to share the gospel, someone whom you have not seen for a long time, to pray earnestly for the souls, for their souls to be saved? You see, when you share the gospel, you need to pray. Everything needs to be in a prayer bath. That's why Paul spent so much time praying. Paul had this confidence in the gospel. Having the confidence in the gospel is not enough if you're not spending much time in prayer. Because Paul had this confidence that the gospel is the only thing that saves sinners. He would spend hours praying. He went on his knees. He said, "Lord, I thank you for the believers at Rome. Thank you, O God, for blessing them." Paul prayed from his heart. How long do you pray for your grandchildren, for your son, for your daughters, for your relatives, for those who are going astray? Is it just one time, two times? We need to just pray and thank God for the work he has started. How long has it been since you shared the gospel? How long has it been? Do you have that longing to see people and to visit them regularly, to disciple them in the Lord? The scripture says we should go into all the world and preach the gospel and make disciples. When before Jesus left this earth, in John 16:15, he said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creation." And at the end of Matthew, he said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation, teaching them to observe," that is discipleship, "teaching them to observe all that I have given you." Do you have that longing like Paul to reap the harvest? There's a great harvest around us here. I heard about cranberry harvest and I was so excited. I said, "Oh, I want to come back this fall to see how they harvest cranberry." But you know, The Lord's harvest is so ripe in Hanson. The Lord's harvest is so ripe in Massachusetts, in the U.S. The harvest is ripe, but God's laborers are so few. The gospel is not the power for everyone, but for everyone who believes. The power of the gospel for salvation only becomes active when you place your hope, your life in the Lord Jesus Christ, when you place your trust in him. That's what he says. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice, I will come in and have fellowship with him. He says, I give power. The gospel needs to go up fervently. It needs to go up with prayer. Do we have that longing to keep sharing the gospel? Not just one time or two times, but to keep sharing it continuously. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the complete confidence that we have in your word to share it, because we know that your word has the power to change lives. We thank you, O God, that you have told us to keep sharing it and to emulate the example of Paul, who shared it continuously with the church. Help us, O God, to follow his example, to continue sharing your word with our brothers and sisters who are already saved, and to share your word with those who are not saved. We ask all this now in Jesus' name with thanksgiving. Amen.